Week 7 wide receiver rankings, where we conceptually talk about the red zone, and hopefully some of these guys get into it today. Hayden, it's been an interesting week, and I would say position overall this season. I think this week entirely, we have the lowest projected points total in a game and the highest so far this season. So you really split, you know, the ins and the outs of the league.
Yeah, that's what happens as the season progresses. You just have the haves and haves nots. And then also just a bunch of wide receiver injuries once again. And then we have the Bills and the Ravens on bye too. So those are two of the highest scoring teams usually. So just a really weird week. Got some new names towards the top of this. And then I think a lot of like pretty interesting flex decisions, like your Kendrick Bournes, Debo Samuels banged up. There's a bunch of guys, Jordan Whittington. There's some new names kind of in the wide receiver three market that we have to hit on.
Yeah, we always do the show on Sunday mornings, and we'll continue to do that even when they throw, you know, Wembley games at us on Sunday mornings. But it feels like each of the last 3 weeks, there's a starting caliber wide receiver that really isn't known until that morning, like until we get these injuries. And I think we have one of those today that if you're still in need of these flex spots or injury designations that happen here on Friday, there's a name that you should go pick up right now. We'll get to that one a little bit later on. All right. We kick things off at the top. This is the easy stuff. Amon-Ra St. Brown for you is wide receiver one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We know that Bucs defense, Todd Bowles, love to blitz. When Jared Goff has been blitzed this season, ARSB, team high, 35% target share and a 3.87 yards per route run.
Yeah, typically just to kind of replace the blitzer. And a lot of times the blitzer is kind of the guy that's in the Amon-Ra St. Brown area. So that makes sense to me. It's also just a situation where the Lions have been so low in neutral pass rate, but Tampa Bay is so good at stopping the run where if there is ever a time for them to decide to pass the ball just because of matchups, this would be it. And even if they don't, week high, 29 point team total at home here. Buccaneers are kind of like moving a bunch of secondary pieces back and forth just due to injuries too. So there's a possible that he faces Jacob Harris, a rookie in the slot, or maybe that Jacob Harris has to go on the play on the outside and then you have a backup nickel defender. So I think everything about this situation for Amon-Ra is very good.
Love that. Great point. Final one here is Kendrick Bourne ate up the middle of the field against this Buccaneers defense, and we're going to see Jared Goff rip those dig routes. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown in that area too.
Yep.
Okay. Next up, Drake London is your wide receiver too. He's actually wide receiver six in consensus ranking, so I'll give you a slight boost here. This is at the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not sure if we have Darnell Mooney's status for this game, but in games that Darnell Mooney has missed, Drake London has gone nuclear in the past.
Oh, yeah. He's still limited, and I haven't seen the full practice. Still waiting for Friday's report, but I'm assuming that Darnell Mooney's not going to play or is going to be limited if he does. And like you said, Drake London's just been totally going crazy. It's not even just without Darnell Mooney. It's also without that wide receiver coach, and we've talked about this a million times, where you play inside the slot, and all of a sudden he's dominating against zone, but also these one-on-one kind of jump ball situations or just kind of hitch routes with the defender climbing over him. He's just too big, you know? So love Drake London.
Again, we discussed it after week three, what had been going on with Drake London. He wasn't being fed in the slot. These last two games that they've played, he's dominated that just like did in the back half of last season. Look, I am not smarter than NFL people, but it is always very peculiar to me that we can see something that worked and then the team just moves away from it. And then they make these changes and go into the bye week. And they're like, oh, yeah, that also works. So let's lean into it a bit more often. And that's what happens here. And the 49ers are 28th versus slot wide receivers so far this season.
Yep. Just to hit on that real quick. I think the NFL guys know infinitely more about every little detail, obviously. Sometimes I do think that some of these guys kind of zoom in too much and kind of just miss the big picture. Like, hey, Drake London's your big guy and he's really good. Make him the focal point on almost every single drop back.
I had an old coworker who has gone on to bigger and better things at NBC Sports. Shout out to Dom.
Dom, I thought this would be Kay Adams again.
No. This is Dom Ridgard. And Dom used to have this saying that every coach needs to have a common sense coordinator. And I think that's what you're talking about here.
Yep.
Like, hey, maybe it's the old dude that used to be a former head coach that you're just paying $200,000 to set up in an office. And you can just, he can sit back and say, yeah, let's funnel more passes in the direction of Drake London.
Yeah, these targets going to the other receivers don't seem to be working out nearly as well. Let's change that. And by the way, USC Trojans 1-2. How do you like
there
that?
There you go. Some were saying wide receiver U. There's going to be another.
Many are
here in a bit. Well, back in the day. Devontae Adams in a big spot here. Your wide receiver three. It's a big spot because there is no Puka Nacua. This is at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have really reshuffled their cornerback room, as we've talked about it. And we've also discussed Devontae's presence inside of the red zone and specifically inside of the end zone, even if that hasn't reached peak performance and peak efficiency yet, he's at least getting the opportunity in that area of the field, and at some point it should.
I think Stafford's kind of missed him on a couple plays, and they're just force feeding the ball down there. So even with Puka this last month, Devontae Adams is the wide receiver four in expected points, with, you know, Puka being easily the number one in that metric. So there is a ton of opportunity for Devontae Adams. I would be pretty shocked if he's not top five in at least usage this week. And I think that the matchup, the Jacksonville's defense is definitely taking away the ball, but I do think that you can move it on them. No Devin Lloyd in this one. I think it's going to be a probably double-digit targets for Devontae Adams.
Next up is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, your wide receiver four. This is against the Houston Texans. Wide receiver two in points per game over the last four outings. One of only two wide receivers in all of fantasy football to average at least in half PPR, scoring over 18 points. And then off of play action this year, we discussed this in Stats versus Film, he's averaging almost 8 yards per route run. And this is exactly what D'Amico Ryans talked about in his press conference, that, like, hey, the running game that they have, even if it's good or bad, how it looks exactly like the running game opens up everything in the play action passing game.
Yeah, other coaches really seem to like Clint Kubiak, so I think that there's a chance that he might be one and done and end up being a head coach next year. So that's a little bit on my radar. For JSN, he's been completely just dominating in every which way. Pick'em Lobby loves him, 85 and a half receiving yards, which might be the most of the week. We'll have to go check that. Didn't want to note, though, he's going to get Derek Stingley in this one. You know, we're talking about an all-pro versus pretty much an all-pro in this matchup. This is by far his most difficult challenge of the entire season, and the Texans could also rush the passer at a very high level. So this is very respectable for JSN still being in my top five, despite this being one of the most difficult matchups. Outside wide receivers against Houston it's one of the more difficult spots in the entire league.
Yeah, that game opened with a 44.5 total. It's down to 41.5 now. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to the Texans end of this very quickly. But among many of the games out there, it's one of the lowest totals of the week. Next, Justin Jefferson, another big spot here off a bye week. He's your wide receiver five against the Philadelphia Eagles. For me, when I was thinking about this overall matchup, it is, you couldn't get a larger shift, let's say, with a guy playing versus not, in that Quinyon Mitchell, if he plays, which I believe he got in a full practice, that means he's going to, versus if he was going to line up on the outside against Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo. So I'm not saying we should move him at all, but I think we also should, you know, not anticipate him averaging 12 yards per catch like he would have against Adoree Jackson or Kelee Ringo.
See, the same exact way. We're still waiting for the official Carson Wentz is going to be the starter. I think that's where this is trending. And then they have a chance to get some offensive linemen back. So we'll learn a little bit more about the Viking side of the ball. And then with Quinyon Mitchell, he has traveled in kind of shadowed wide receiver ones. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen here. But if there's even half the game where that's not the case, Justin Jefferson's going to go absolutely crazy. And in credit to Carson Wentz, he's definitely still has some of his struggles, but he's kind of doing the Joe Flacco approach where, hey, I got an all-pro wide receiver. Why don't I just throw him the ball relentlessly and see what happens there?
Okay, Rome Odunze is up next. Rome's had an incredible year, and it stinks that on Monday Night Football, when, you know, Chicago puts their best foot forward in some areas and beats the Washington Commanders, Rome Odunze has his worst performance of the season. But, you know, in this one, maybe that means a big bounce back for him.
And Rome did catch a touchdown that was just called back for a penalty that had nothing to do with the play, really. So I think he's still in a great spot here. The Saints have been really, you know, just struggling in general against, like, outside wide receivers. Kayshon Booty got him for 24 points. JSN, 18 points. Juwan Jennings had his big game at 17 points. Even Marvin Harrison Jr. had almost 16 fantasy points against New Orleans. So they play a lot of quarters and two deep zone defenses, and still the Saints are allowing more downfield receptions than almost entirely their top three in downfield production. So that plays into the Rome Odunze stuff. We still don't know if DJ Moore with his injury is going to play in this one. And I just think that the ball keeps going funneled to Rome Odunze, and the Bears have the fifth highest team total of the week. So everything about this situation is good. And I thought that he actually even played well, and he got two deep targets that just went incomplete. But those are, we eventually cash those in the future.
Yep. And he was awesome in my awesome blocks per game league as well. Just sealing it off on the edge. There's two games that have weather concerns this week. This is one of them with that Saints Chicago. We always go to Kevin Roth over at Roto Grinders. I'll just read this one out since this one is in the Windy City. Quote, looks like most of the rain clears pregame, though a lingering shower isn't out of the question. Sustained winds could come in around 15 miles per hour with wind gusts to 30 miles per hour. That could impact some longer throws and field goals, which we know longer throws hasn't necessarily been Caleb Williams' strong suit.
The wind might help.
Even, yeah, it might. Actually, good point. I mean, we know he has the arm for it, just the accuracy. This could lead it in that right direction. That's for sure. This is what Kevin calls like a yellow slash orange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't change anything off of that. We'll talk about an orange matchup a little bit later on. Nico Collins is wide receiver 7. Just before the bye week, I believe it was against the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. It was amazing stuff. We got Slowicki passing game. And, you know, Seattle's front has been amazing this year, but their cornerbacks, because of Witherspoon being back and Tariq Woolen now being kind of a bad football player, they've just been an easy target so far this season.
They really have. And it's also just one of these defenses where teams have pretty much given up trying to run it on them, and they just throw it against them because the cornerback play has been so hit and miss. They have like really talented players, but they take a lot of chances, and those chances have just kind of been connected by offenses. So we've seen Brian Thomas go for 90 yards and a touchdown. Emeka Abuko had 163 and one. Marvin Harrison 66 and one. Chris Olave caught 10 passes. Ricky Pearsall had 108 yards. So it's been one of the defenses where we always talk about how good their defensive line is, and the secondary getting healthier makes it a little bit less of a unit that we want to attack through the air. But I just don't think that the Texans with their offensive line are going to be able to run the ball. So they have one option, keep throwing the ball to Nico Collins, and I'll take my chances versus Reek Wallen, who's like in the middle of trade conversations. And then last note, Texans inside the 10-yard line this year, highest pass rate in the NFL at 71%. They cannot trust their offensive linemen. You have a 6'3", 6'4" wide receiver with a 40-inch vertical. Let's start tossing the ball up to him. So if they can get down to the 10-yard line more often, I think we're going to start seeing this convert a little bit.
Like that a lot. We always spend our Saturday episode on quarterbacks and tight ends, basically talking about matchups. I have a lot more notes on this Texans Seahawks one, because the Texans right now only projected for 19.25 points, one of the lowest of the week. So we'll save it for there. What we will not save is discussing this Cowboys wide receiver duo, and they are back to back in your rankings. Welcome back, CeeDee Lamb. He's wide receiver 8, and George Pickens is wide receiver 9. Did the trade show with Faraz. So many people are considering selling high on George Pickens. Based on this ranking, you would advise against that?
I think in general, George Pickens will be a wide receiver 2 the rest of the way, and he's going to have wide receiver 1 moments. Remember how many injuries we've been talking about and how many teams are just not using their wide receivers. There's a lot more passes being thrown to running backs and to tight ends and more scrambles than ever. So we're seeing less wide receiver production in general. So I would rather keep on to the guys that have a chance to be kind of the outliers this year. So I would not be trading George Pickens. I would probably view him as the wide receiver 14 or so rest of season, like from this point moving forward. This week, I have it closer together just because CeeDee Lamb has been limited with his ankle injury. He says he's going to play, but this is also this first week back with a high ankle sprain. And just typically, players coming off of that injury, it takes a little bit of time before they're usually themselves. This is also a great matchup. This is by far the highest game total of the week as well. Both secondaries, I think, have had issues with either coverage busts or just like straight up talent. So I love the spot for Dak Prescott and Jaden Daniels, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and hopefully Deebo Samuel's ready to go here. But not a lot of defense being played, and Dak Prescott's playing out of his mind. So Cowboys 4th in projected points. I'm going to roll the dice on both of them.
I believe the Cowboys are favored by 1.5 now. That has flipped. Mm. I mean, the Cowboys are the 2024 Cincinnati Bengals in that their defense is absolutely atrocious. You had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins as top 4 scoring wide receivers in points per game last season. I understand that you can dig into the spreadsheets. I'm not saying you, just everyone out there, and see that this year when Lamb and Pickens played together, those were Pickens' worst weeks, which, by the way, over the last four games, he's the wide receiver one in points per game, the only wide receiver above 20 half PPR points out there. But that's because, one, let's dive in. Week one was against the Philadelphia Eagles. On the outside, he was the one who faced Quinion Mitchell. And back when that Eagles defense was mostly healthy, we know what happened to Jalen Carter prior to the game. They were preventing downfield shots. And guess who CeeDee Lamb got? It was the Adoree Jackson contest. And then also, if you're looking at week two, bing, bang, boom. It's his second week in this system, you know? So this offense is special throwing the football at this moment. Dak Prescott is on an absolute heater. And I just would want to keep George Pickens, knowing the uncertainty on a week to week standpoint we have with these other teams. And I really feel like that this is, hey, we have our inside outside player in CeeDee Lamb. And then George Pickens is still going to be heavily, heavily involved.
And let's make sure that CeeDee Lamb's like fully himself. Like, players have setbacks with injuries all the time. You trade George Pickens away and then all of a sudden you're going to miss out on a top four season from George Pickens. So I just don't think that this is the time to do it. Let's just trust that the Cowboys defense is going to suck and the offense is amazing. Dak Prescott stylistically is playing like Peyton Manning.
And specifically on CD, Commanders have been, like you said, bad versus receivers, especially versus slot guys. And final note on Pickens, last year he had a career high 12 end zone targets. Here he has 13 so far this season, which leads the NFL. Okay. Also, welcome back Rashee Rice, wide receiver 10. Feel like every single week on this program, we've been pleading with people to draft him. I've phrased it that he steals the soul of Travis Kelce in this offense, and where we have seen Travis Kelce win in previous seasons and be this team's primary pass catcher, that's exactly what Rashee Rice is going to enter with. And I'm not overly concerned coming off an injury because the dude has been practicing for like
forever,
weeks and months at this point.
Yeah, it's like been like a legit a full year since that injury. So the only thing that's in the back of my mind is there could be a little bit of a rotation just because it is his first week back. But if he plays full-time snaps, he has a chance to finish as the wide receiver one this week. So this is adjusting for just the uncertainty of a player coming back for the first time in the middle of the season. But the Chiefs offense is undeniably really fun. It feels like there's a lot more like crossing routes in the offense and maybe a little bit deeper down the field, which plays into Rashee Rice's strengths as well, yards after the catch-wise. And Xavier Worthy is just not himself. You go back and watch his targets and whatnot, you see he's not like fully like a 4.2s speed guy. So I think it should be Rashee Rice right away. He's healthier than Xavier Worthy. And on top of that, the Chiefs are second in projected points. In offense is facing this poor Raiders team. They're choosing to pass the ball at the highest rate in the NFL this year. So they have a plan for Max Crosby. They faced him a million times. And they have nobody in the secondary. And this zone defense, I think, is just really, really bad for the Raiders. So if we're going to be sitting down in zone with Rashee Rice over the middle all day, like, he can have 10 catches in this one. Would not surprise me at all.
I'll talk about this in our preview episode when we talk about quarterbacks. But I believe this Raiders defense is running cover three at like a 45% rate. Patrick Mahomes against a defense that he's going to see 45% of the time, he's going to know exactly where to go with this football. Like, it's...
Yeah. Yeah,
I can't believe they're recycling this with Pete Carroll. Just like, oh, we're going to run this thing with way worse players. And now we're going to face Patrick Mahomes and he's going to dice us up with it. But it's expected. Okay, Brian Thomas Jr. is next up for you. If you can hold up for the Jaguars against this Rams pass rush, then I think you have a real chance throwing the football against them ever since Akella Witherspoon has been sidelined.
Yep, since he's been out. Elik Ayoumenor had almost 14 half PPR points. AJ Brown, surprisingly enough, had almost 20, which is almost impossible for him to do. Devontae Smith had 16. Pittman, 13. Adonai Mitchell had 11, not even including the missed 6 points that he dropped on that. And then Kendrick Bourne got him for 19. I mean, it's been just wide receiver one finish, just like on a full cycle. So this should be Brian Thomas again here. I've had some pretty aggressive rankings with him. I'm waiting for that man coverage rep where he just takes it for 50 yards and a touchdown. The usage is coming up. Last week was 13 expected points. He's back into the wide receiver two conversation because his usage is up. And as long as he can catch the ball, I think we're on pace to kind of figure this one out a little bit.
Long time. I mean, basically lifers of this channel or my content. Remember the days back when I used to live in Connecticut? I would do live Periscopes while cooking and answering your questions. You know me, I love a good steak. And I absolutely loved when we got this house that had an extra refrigerator and freezer downstairs, my brain instantly went to, I can keep a whole bunch of steaks, burgers, pork tenderloins, all that stuff in this freezer, in this refrigerator. And guess what? Omaha Steaks freaking hooked me up. I can't wait to have some compound butter with some shallots, some parsley, some lemon zest in there as well, some unsalted butter. You whisk it up when it gets room temperature and boom, put in the freezer and fridge. And then when you perfectly make your steak medium, that's me on my New York strip, and then put a little dollop on top, let it drizzle out. Once it's perfectly done on that sear, we got it covered. And Omaha Steaks, bang, beef tenderloin, nailed it. And if you want some dessert at the same time, we got some frozen caramel apple tartlets on top. Omaha Steaks is the perfect place to hook you up. So save big with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide. 50% off site-wide with an extra 20% off select favorites during their early Black Friday sale. Go and fill up your freezer. Go and fill up your refrigerator. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code THESHOW at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's, again, 50% off at omahasteaks.com. Promo code THESHOW at checkout. Cortland Sutton against the Giants. Giants defense, pass rush, yes. Everything else, questionable. They've had their ups and downs this year, which makes sense based on, you know, all the new players that they're bringing in, both at safety and moving on from corners and the pass rush they have up front. If Bo Nix, who has been quite bad when pressured this year, maybe this, and we keep saying this, is the get right game for him and the get right spot. If that's the case, then Cortland Sutton is the every down player for him.
The Giants are actually third worst against fantasy wide receivers, and they run the second most man coverage rate in the NFL. And that's something I wanted to note real quick. Went back and just over the last couple seasons and was looking at what happens when a defense is running man coverage versus zone coverage. When you're facing man coverage, wide receivers are targeted 70% of the time. When it's at zone coverage, that drops down to about like 50% of the time. The reason being, the corners, I think, are just paying attention to the wide receivers. You can just throw it over them and kind of make a play on the ball. Where in zone coverage, all the corners are looking at the quarterback. They just throw the ball, dump it off to the running back. So the tight end usage is about the same versus man versus zone. But against man coverage teams, wide receivers get an extra bump. I say all that because the Giants are second in man coverage this season. And whenever there is man coverage, they have one guy on the team that can actually, you know, catch the ball. So that's Cortland Sutton this week. So just remember, when you hear man coverage teams, good for wide receivers. Zone coverage, that's when you're going to get extra targets to the running back.
Cortland Sutton projected for 58.5 yards in the Pick'em lobby right now. That is below some of the names we're about to talk about here. So again, if you've never played underdog, maybe this weekend is the time to do it. We're in 40, 41 of the 50 states out there. If you couldn't play on UD a couple of years ago on the dog app, check again. I mean, Georgia, Texas, California, all these places, some level of champions, of prediction markets, of pick'em, of drafts. So use promo code THESHOW, click the link in the description down below, and we are still doing play $5, get $100 in your account. So go and play on Underdog. Support us by supporting Underdog. Mike Evans is also back in the fold. I had to double check this. He's wide receiver 31 in consensus rankings. Wide receiver 13 for you at the Detroit Lions. Why do you think the discrepancy is that significant?
Maybe some rankers are just don't know that he's going to play yet or something like that. This is a difficult one for me because if he was fully healthy, like let's say he's been playing for the last couple of weeks, I'd probably have him right next to Justin Jefferson as a top 8 wide receiver. This is his first game back from a hamstring injury. He's been limited in practice so far. He's had hamstring injuries forever. He's an older guy. And the rest of the wide receiver group was kind of removed. So I do wonder if they're kind of forcing him back a week early. All that said, even a limited version of Mike Evans is in a beautiful spot because the Lions secondary is just as injured as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is. And when Mike Evans is by himself in this offense, he goes absolutely crazy. So without Emeka Egbuka and Chris Godwin, he has a 32% targets per route rate over the last couple seasons here. So the Lions are missing basically their top three corners, and then Brian Branch is going to be suspended. So I think it's a great spot for Mike Evans. And this is also one of these defenses that runs a lot of man coverage typically as well. So good spot for Mike Evans, assuming he's fully healthy. I really hope Jay Glazer hits us in the morning, that he's ready to go 100% snaps.
So Reeves noted that Mike Evans, off of another hamstring injury last year, came back and only ran a route on 66% of dropbacks in that first game. Yeah. They were also starved for wide receivers in that game. Yeah. So it was a blowout. But I do wonder if maybe that's just what Todd Bowles wants to do with someone like Mike Evans. Again, this is a chronic thing. It's not like this is the first time it's ever happened, or the second, really the third. So I think in people's head, they maybe should expect a less than 70% snap and dropback right here.
That's kind of what I'm banking into my ranking, is somewhere around there. I just think it's such a good spot. And typically when these players are out there for limited snaps, they make sure to get them their targets with that. So it's not like that the targets come down at the same rate as the snaps do. It's one of these situations, like, all right, it's third and eight, Mike Evans on the field, here comes that big back shoulder that we're typically seeing.
If there was another Bucs wide receiver that you would promote, who would it be?
Sterling Shepard is what the brain and spreadsheets would be telling you. If you wanted to have fun, it would be Tez Johnson. And then Cameron Johnson, our boy from Barton College, he only played when Emeka Egbuka left. So I think one for one replacement wise, that kind of means that he's going to be the odd man out. So Sterling Shepard in the slot, Tez Johnson, vertical threat. I think either one of them could get it done.
I doubt he plays, but I think I saw right before we started recording that Terrion Arnold was back at practice, but we know he's coming off of a multi-week injury, the cornerback for the Lions. Okay, Jaylen Waddle here is wide receiver 14. This is the big weather game of the weekend that we'll also discuss with tight ends and other players here. It is bright orange, according to Kevin Roth. Quote, models are trending towards bringing some of the strongest winds now in game, which would be sustained winds of 20 to 25 miles per hour, with gusts even over 40 miles per hour. We know Mr. Slater Scoop himself said gusts up to 50 to 60 miles per hour. So how does that affect the arms of Tua Tagovailoa and Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah, the forecast calls for a lot of ducks. There's ducks on the broadcast. There's going to be ducks in the forecast. This one makes me nervous. On one hand, without Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle's had wide receiver one level advanced numbers. He's number 12 in usage, 25% target share. He'll get some manufactured stuff. Love all of that. Jaylen Waddle is also very good at football. On the other hand, we have this weather. We have a really low team total at 18.5 points because they don't have an offensive lineman that could hold up against Myles Garrett. And then on top of that, Denzel Ward's very good in coverage, and he actually has the speed to kind of match with Jaylen Waddle out there. So this is as bad of a spot as I can kind of call for with Jaylen Waddle, but he's also very good at football and gets the ball a lot too. So I'm kind of middle grounding this. I would not be surprised if a couple of these Chargers wide receivers that I have ranked ends up flipping them by the end of the week, but I want to get that final forecast ready to go. But yeah, Dylan Gabriel, Tua in 40 mile an hour winds. I don't know about all that.
Again, we'll talk about this on the Saturday show. Who are the auto starts in this game? Because all we're going to hear about until Sunday, and obviously on the Start Sit show, is going to be about this weather. We're going to get relentless questions about it.
Yeah.
Are the only auto starts Devon Achane, Quinshon Judkins, Jaylen Waddle, and then can we get a preview of a Harold Fannin ranking?
Oh, tight end five. I think the win probably plays into Harold Fannin's favor. I mean, he gets...
I agree. I posted that on Twitter. I caught him an auto start, and then all I got was a swarm, a thunderstorm of a... Are you sure? There's the weather. They're only projected for 39.5 points.
Yeah. I mean, we're not playing Fannin for touchdowns here. We're trying to get the PPR scam going.
He is the shortest ADOT of two on the team at 6.1 yards. And we love, tight end screens and little chips at the line of scrimmage near the goal line, all that type of stuff. So I would include him as an auto start.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Harold Fannin is looking fantastic.
Okay. So those are the four names.
Yeah, and then I think we'll get to like the Jerry Jeudy types later, and it gets tough from there.
I just know that that's a major talking point, so I'm sure we even put a timestamp there of Dolphins, Browns, weather discussion, who's the auto start. There it is. Ladd McConkey's up next, along with Quentin Johnston. They are the next two wide receivers at wide receiver 15 and wide receiver 16. Trey Harris got a ton of run last week, some really positive coach speak. But I'm assuming if QJ is back from his hamstring issue, then Trey Harris immediately goes back to the bench, and we have back this wide receiver trio that's been unbelievable this year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trey Harris is just going to be an outside receiver, so the snaps would be coming from Quentin Johnston, but he's been too good. He's fully practicing, so I think that the Trey Harris thing was just be like, hey, remember that? That was kind of fun as we think about this for best ball drafts next offseason. But I think it's just going to be the same three wide receivers as usual. They called up Josh Norris and Hayden Winks to play corner for the Colts, so I just really like the matchups in general. It's a horrific cornerback depth chart for the Colts right now, and the Chargers still remain really high in neutral pass rate, and this is one of the best spots they've had. The Colts obviously have a great offense on the other side, so this is another shootout potential game. So all three of these guys are absolute must starts. I'm ranking Ladd McConkey one spot ahead of Quentin Johnston. One, Ladd McConkey is good at football. We finally got that yards after the catch moment that we've been waiting for, and then also just player coming off of a soft tissue injury. And I like the full practice for Quentin Johnston, but always just kind of knock these guys making their return just a little bit.
Yeah, and Lou Anarumo does some really funky stuff on his defense, and I think Ladd's just going to be fantastic in terms of finding the soft areas in that and being on the string with Justin Herbert. So I could see him being the go-to player with that stuff, along with Keenan. Okay, Chris Olave starts the next tier. To me, it's been a weird week for Chris Olave. Odd to me that the Saints are, if they are floating his name out there, he still has a fifth-year option next year on top of it. Just, I understand the concussions, the head injuries, those absolutely suck. But wide receivers of this caliber of talent, again, just my opinion, aren't available very often. But here he is. If he plays on the Sunday, wide receiver 17 for you at the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, still don't fully understand why they'd be getting rid of their young wide receivers that are really good, but that's their choice. We'll get to that once a trade perhaps comes through. This month, wide receiver 3 overall in usage just gets peppered with all these little short targets we've talked about the entire season, and even going back to the offseason, looking at how Kellen Moore wants to play their offense. They're still running a ton of plays, second fastest offense in the NFL. We have not gotten the crazy Chris Olave game yet. Hopefully it's this one. Bears 8th worst against fantasy wide receivers. I will say the Bears defense got a lot of players back from injury, so we can't just like completely blindly just copy paste what we've seen from the Bears. I think it's still one of these teams that we want to attack in general. Super high game total just in general. The Bears are projected to win this, but the Saints are up at nearly 21 points themselves on the road. So I think they've graduated from the unwatchable tier, and I think it's a good matchup for Chris Olave. So hopefully we get one of these, you know, where it's not the Rashid Shaheed 60-yard, 80-yard touchdown. Olave is also capable of doing that, and hopefully this is the week that he actually does it.
Again, this is the other game that has some weather concerns, so we'll keep an eye on that one for sure. Michael Pittman is wide receiver 18 at the Los Angeles Chargers. No Josh Downs here, which is very important. He finished last week, but then reported concussion-like symptoms. And so Michael Pittman and Tyler Warren are easily the top two pass catchers here.
Typically, the Chargers don't want to get beat over the top. That's just the whole point of their entire defensive structure. So that means a lot of outside runs, which we'll see with Jonathan Taylor, but also a lot of like underneath passes. So I know they got Henley and Derwin James kind of roaming the middle, but you can hit this team on like quick outs and just kind of march up and down the field that way. They're missing Khalil Mack just in general, just stopping the run and as a pass rusher. So we'll see if Khalil Mack's able to play. I'm guessing he's not. Normal team total at 23.5 points, despite being on the road here. I think it's in general, it's a good spot because the Colts really haven't played a star quarterback this year. And I want to test what that defense can actually do, because there's just a chance where I think the Chargers can put up 30 points. And we have not seen like Michael Pittman very often in comeback mode. And that would be really, really refreshing for Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman, especially without Josh Downs kind of roaming over the middle as well.
Anything else you want to add about the Chargers' third wide receiver here in Keenan Allen?
His snaps have come down, but he still gets a lot of targets in general. Kenny
and Moore, end zone targets too. He's an important player for them in the red zone, as is QJ as well.
Yeah, so it's a little bit notable to me, but I don't think it's like that big of a deal just because the Chargers offense is still so pass heavy. They're projected for so many points. Kenny Moore It sounds like he's going to come back. He's been dealing with Achilles tendonitis this entire season. Keenan and Ladd McConkey both play in the slot. That's by far their best corner. So I have him ranked last. He's also just least likely to have a 40-yard play of this group. So I still really like him in general. He's the wide receiver 6 in usage this month. Just has not converted those into many touchdowns yet, but the spreadsheets are telling me they're coming.
Romeo Doubs is next as wide receiver 20. This is at the Arizona Cardinals. Entirely unpredictable, this wide receiver room is, but if you anticipate someone being on the field the most, it is Romeo Doubs, and we've also seen him with a 2/3 touchdown game this season.
Those are pretty much my notes. He's probably going to be in the 80-90% route rate. We're going to get Christian Watson back, I think, this week, but I think that's going to be like those Malik Heath snaps and, you know, Dontavian Wicks snaps. I think that's where he's going to get his snaps taken from. Doubs has been the wide receiver 17, a wide receiver 21 usage this month, 21% target share. When they get to the red area, he's got a 30% target share. So this has been multiple years of him just being peppered on these little slant routes, dig routes in the red area. He's just a super tough player, and Packers projected for a bunch of points. Cardinals did get Will Johnson back, but in general, just they're still missing pass rushers and defensive line and linebackers and the such. So I still think it's a good spot for all Packers.
I've seen a lot of clips of Packers negativity so far this season, or I should say this week. I'm not saying I'm like totally surprised by it. It kind of feels like a potential team more than actuality, but we've also seen this team's offense being excellent in certain games and the defense been excellent in other games. So to me, they are still one of the favorites to exit the NFC as a Super Bowl contender here.
People's expectations are just so out of control. Are we supposed to be the Patriots every single year? Is it supposed to be the Dolphins and go just undefeated? Like, every team loses many games every year. And guess what? The team that's going to lose 5 games this year is going to win the Super Bowl. So let's not panic after every single loss.
Tedrone McMillan is next. This is wide receiver 21. This is at the New York Jets. Panthers left guard Damian Lewis missed practice on Friday with a shoulder injury. He's considered day-to-day. He will travel. He's kind of had a brace on all season long. Then that would be them without their left guard, center, and right guard from day one of this season.
Hasn't been a problem so far, though, right? Like, that's
true. And Austin Corbett might come in and play left guard, who started at center this season.
Yeah, interesting. Lots of shuffling here. Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard, I think, are going to take over the offense in general. It's just becoming one of the more run heavy teams, which is what Canales has tried to be his entire career. There's a moment where they're a little bit more pass heavy, but it's kind of calmed down. So this month, T-Mac, wide receiver 29, a wide receiver 17 usage. This can be a difficult task, probably shadowed by Sauce Gardner in this one. So I've liked better spots than this one. And I'm waiting for one other Panthers wide receiver to step up, because the secondary in New York has one really, really good corner. And then the rest of the corners,
I will say their slot corner, I think it's Brownlee, if I'm not mistaken, has played quite well after an offseason trade.
Right. But in general, just the outside corner 2 spot has been highly problematic. And even if they are playing well, you're just going to get a lot of targets because you refuse to throw the ball to Sauce Gardner. So please, Jalen Coker or Xavier Leggett, let's be serious.
100%. That would do wonders just for the overall team. Like, anything not going to T-Mac is basically a manufactured target to someone, whether it be a tight end or a Xavier Leggett. Like, Jalen Coker coming in being a consistent presence over the middle of the field would be huge for this passing attack.
You're not going to see Coker in my rankings here. I will advise in all 12-person leagues, he should absolutely be rostered. I think there's a chance he could turn into this, you know, big slot. We're talking about guys feet in the ground and running over the middle and showing some toughness. That's the whole point of the NFL right now. The Panthers are needing that type of player on the other side of the field, and I think that's what he offers.
Basically, Tommy Trimble and Mitchell Evans doing that right now. So Xavier Worthy's interesting because immediately once Rashee Rice comes back, he drops kind of down into that low end wide receiver 2 territory in a cake matchup. Why?
I just don't think he's fully healthy right now. And this is another impossible ranking. He's a start. The team is predicted for way too many points. The Raiders are way too bad at defense. Xavier Worthy is still very involved. He just does not seem like he's fully running at full speed. And that's going to matter here. This team's just going to pass like crazy. I will say, like, Hollywood Brown, Tyquan Thornton. There's going to be another player in this offense aside from Rashee Rice that's going to step up and have a good game. Xavier Worthy's obviously at the top of that list, but I wish he was at full health right now. I think it's right now you can kind of nitpick that's like the thing that Xavier Worthy's kind of been held back.
I think he's an interesting pivot when we talk about Battle Royale drafts or DFS out there, where, you know, everyone's going to be gunning for Rashee Rice just because that's been the talk over the last 5 weeks. But I think there's like a small outside shot that Xavier Worthy actually outperforms him, especially if we're talking about cover three and single high stuff. Like if we get one deep Xavier Worthy touchdown, then that can kind of be difficult to overcome.
Yep. Yeah. And you can just run away from, you can do all like the jet sweep action stuff, the screens, the opposite way from Max Crosby, and just get him out of the game plan.
No, don't get me wrong. Easily ranking and playing Rashee Rice over him, but just a thought out there. Okay, Stephon Diggs is your wide receiver 23. This is against the Tennessee Titans. I think a really solid last month here for Stephon Diggs. And hopefully it's one of those games that he plays 80% of snaps and is out there all the time.
He's been more hovering in the 75-ish% route rate instead of like full time, but he's getting the rock plenty this month. Wide receiver 30 on wide receiver 30 usage. If you ask me, do I think it's going to be better or worse than that rest of the season? I would say better than that. He's also been awesome whenever he's been targeted. 10.5 yards per target. Targets going to him completed 87% of the time. You just don't see that with wide receivers. And not all those are underneath looks either. So all those stuff, that's all Drake May. And I think that's a really good spot against the Titans. If you look at the passing EPA charts that I post for matchups, the Patriots stand out like a sore thumb. And then if you look at the team total, it's up at 24.5 points. So everything about this is saying that there's an upside case with Steph Diggs. I think that his floor is kind of settled in. He's their most reliable underneath an intermediate target on the offense.
Next is Kendrick Bourne against the Atlanta Falcons. Hayden, I hate to say it, but we, the fantasy football community, have failed as an enterprise. Mac Jones went to the podium on Thursday and said that he and Kendrick Bourne are actually best friends, best buddies from their days with the New England Patriots. As soon as we found out that Mac Jones was going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers and that Kendrick Bourne was basically the only healthy player and wide receiver for the 49ers, we should have dot connected this like crazy. Yeah. This is what we love to do. Get the red string out from behind me and connect the dots. And I don't think a single program, including us, did this. I'm ashamed.
Yeah, we missed. We were all about the narratives. We just let this one go. And it's like, so obviously played football together for a long time. And right now, Kendrick Bourne is getting all those dig routes and crossing routes that Mac Jones just has to trust the Kyle Shanahan play and just rip it in there. And they've been converting a lot of them. And Kendrick Bourne had those drops. And I do remember in the beginning of his first blow up game, the first target to him was a drop and Max Jones went over there and tapped him on the back. And then after that point, it's been like 15 for 15 on his target. So I'm waiting for George Kittle confirmation. He wants to play. They need him desperately. George Kittle, I think, is more likely to play, but this is also his first week back practicing. And he said that he fully tore his hamstring. So it's just like something to kind of keep in mind. That's the Sunday night football game as well. So just make sure you have a backup plan. But Kendrick Bourne, he's got to be ranked ahead of Juwan Jennings, who's still in the injury report with this rib injury, just yelling at Kyle Shanahan. So the vibes are certainly better with Kendrick Bourne.
The other part of this is because that connection is so strong from their past, I do wonder, like, let's say Jennings and Pearsall are still either not playing well or injured when Brock Purdy comes back, if we can even copy paste the Kendrick Bourne stuff with Brock Purdy in there, because the connection, I mean, I'm really diving into narrative street, but you know, it definitely worked here. The other part of this is Jesse Bates can man the middle of the field here for the Atlanta Falcons. And so those in breakers, he's one of the best at hawking down the football in that area. So we could get a pick here from Mac Jones. Because he kind of like blindly throws these and trusts them, which I totally understand. Jesse Bates is going to be there.
Yeah, it's one of those. The offense is just a good reminder. We're not trying to maximize the offense to minimize interceptions. Like, to get the efficient passes, you got to throw the ball over the middle. And on occasion, those are going to get intercepted. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Next up are two Eagles wide receivers, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, back to back at 25 and 26. This is against the Minnesota Vikings. It doesn't feel like it. And it also doesn't feel like it when you watch the games, but at least in the box score, A.J. Brown has at least 8 targets in 5 straight games. Again, some of those aren't even close in the area code or the zip code. So if you just wrote that, Hayden, and said AJ Brown is wide receiver 25 this week with five straight games of 8+ targets. Wouldn't you at least ask the question of, could he be a buy low?
Definitely possible. He's the wide receiver 10 in usage this month. He's also the wide receiver 33 in projected points. I've never seen AJ Brown be a below producer versus my model. So yes, I do agree. This could be a huge game for AJ Brown per the spreadsheets. Now, I'm sure, and I know you have to have a million matchup notes for the Eagles and Vikings, because I have tons of them.
Go for it. It's all you.
Okay. Vikings, number one in EPA defense through the air. It's like not even close. Their run game has actually been the problem. So maybe Philadelphia decides to run the ball. This team has allowed 37 receptions to wide receivers this year. Reminder, Puka Nacua has 54 himself. So the Vikings are not allowing any wide receiver receptions at all. If you look at the downfield targets, which has pretty much been the entire Eagles pass game for the last couple years, it's you get a couple shovel passes, and then if their offense is going, they're completing the deep ball. The Vikings on deep targets have allowed by far the fewest amount of fantasy points. It's like not even close. Like just in my notes, that's at 5 per game for the Vikings defense. The Cowboys defense on downfield passes at 22 fantasy points per game. So it's a humongous spread here. And then if you look at it, the Vikings play a lot of zone coverage, like a really, really high rate. And what do the Eagles really, 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 really struggle with? The exact zone looks that the Vikings typically play. So the Vikings are not even going to change their game plan. They're just going to do the thing that they've always done. And they're not going to let these one-on-one man coverage opportunities that AJ Brown, Devontae Smith have kind of cashed home on. So, and then for AJ Brown in particular, his targets per route drops to 15% against these exact zone coverages that I'm talking about. So this is as bad of a spot as I can think about when I'm talking about AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. I still have to recognize the upside still there because you guys are total freak shows. But yeah, if he was mad on the sideline recently, this could be like the actual bottoming out of the entire thing.
I'll save some of my notes for the Saturday show on quarterbacks and tight ends. My only thing, though, is I think flat out just watching the two play, Devontae Smith is playing better football than AJ Brown is right now.
Yes. And if you look at it since last December, just looking about almost for like 16 full games, because these guys were in the playoffs for so long, Devontae Smith's just outscoring him straight up.
Deebo Samuel is next against the Dallas Cowboys. So Terry McLaurin is out still. Deebo Samuel on Friday, practicing on a side field, was asked about it in the locker room after. He said, quote, "We'll just have to see." When asked about playing on Sunday, he said the heel is, quote, "aggravating for sure." If Deebo Samuel was healthy, I'm sure he would be much higher than wide receiver 27 in your rankings. But last week, he saw the lowest rate in a full game of dropbacks on the field. And this week, that could be even lower, or he might not even play.
I want to rank him as the freaking wide receiver 7 this week, but yes. I just don't know what to do here. So hopefully there's a good report on Sunday morning. That's why you guys got to tune into the live show, because we will have the official last ranking for Deebo Samuel. He could end up as my wide receiver 40. He could end up as my wide receiver 8. I don't know exactly. I'm just kind of middle grounding this. It just comes down to how healthy is that heel. When you watch like the last game, just he was out there and it was like not, he was just not existent. Yep. You know,
if he's not out there, is there someone that people should be speculative about in terms of a pickup? Like, could that be Chris Moore? Would he be number one on the list?
I need to do more research on that. I don't have a good answer.
Yeah, I think
I will have an
Chris
answer.
Moore, but like, there's no great answer out there. He just, I saw ran a bunch on the outside. Jameson Williams, we've discussed this name at length so far this year, wide receiver 28. And the reason we've been discussing it at length is actually last week he got usage that was very similar to 2024 in comparison to the rest of this 2025 season, meaning that on Sunday night, his ADOT was down at 4.9 per target. That was after about 21 weeks 1 through 5. All season, I've been begging for him to get these crossing routes, these underneath patterns to run after the catch and just have some consistency and gimmies to his game. Again, maybe some self-scouting after the 5 weeks that we'd get that moving forward, or it was just a blip on the radar and it's stuff to bank on.
I don't have a good answer for this one either. You know, I'm just trying to be honest with everybody. Sometimes I say, I don't know. And that's usually you want to hear people say, I don't know, by the way. It's a sign that they're being honest with you. This is the same situation, I think, the entire year. They're projected for the most points. of the week at 29. I think this is, in general, a pass funnel Bucks defense. I still think that the Buccaneers secondary has some, first of all, they're very well coached, and they do have some young talent back there, especially at safety. So it's not like the easiest spot in the world, but Bucks Lions, could that finish at 38-35? That would not surprise anybody here. So I think during bye weeks and injuries and uncertainty, I would say that Jameson Williams is trending more towards a start with no floor than somebody I'd rather keep on my bench.
Next is Trey Tucker, the Raiders wide receiver one, after Jacoby Myers is not practicing this week.
Yeah, so Brock Bowers not going to play. Jacoby Myers doesn't practice. I think that Jacoby Myers is a trade candidate on top of that. So I think Trey Tucker's kind of nice. He's winning some man coverage routes. He's also just kind of a yards after the catch threat at this point of his career, and he can always take the top off of a defense. They're, 11-point dogs to the Chiefs, so the team total is really low, but they're going to have to pass the ball, and I just think the Chiefs are going to go absolutely crazy on offense. So one of these like comeback modes, and Geno, he's going to throw some interceptions. I'll grant you guys that. He can also throw a big old post route over the top to Trey Tucker, who I just think is one of the more underrated receivers. He's not exceptional, but he's an NFL starter and kind of reminds me of the Darnell Mooney breakout from last year.
And if Jacoby Myers does get traded next week, I would be looking in the direction of Jack Besh to take over. That just makes sense as a succession plan of why they drafted him in round two, was because Jacoby was in the final year of his contract, and that's the area of the field that he is going to live. Jerry Jeudy up next. We discussed this game at length with the Dolphins last game. If Jerry Jeudy just played a normal one, he would have had a great day. Unfortunately, a normal one might not be possible because of these winds and the rain here in Miami, or against Cleveland, I should say, in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a great spot on paper because the Dolphins are so bad at corner. The team total is actually up at 20 points, which is a lot higher. We've had a lot of games where it's been like 15 or 16 points. So that stands out to me. David Njoku is not going to be a part of the offense this week due to injury. So that opens up some extra targets perhaps. And last week it was a season high in usage for Jerry Jeudy. Didn't do a whole lot with it. We've grown to be pretty used to that. But if you were saying, all right, Jerry Jeudy's going to have 100 yards and two touchdowns in a game this year, you have to kind of pick which game it's going to be. This would be pretty high up on my list of like the most likely scenario. So don't love the weather, but everything else about this spot for Jerry Jeudy is pretty nice. He's a wide receiver 13 in usage this month. I know we're chasing these points, but that's pretty high.
He's also there. Not been good.
No, he's not. He's not. And he's kind of playing a little bit out of position. They're putting him in the more difficult spots, which I don't love for Jerry.
Okay, Matthew Golden is next. This is the discussion I have in my head of Harold Fannin versus Matthew Golden in a flex spot. Okay. It's a tough one because this is against the Arizona Cardinals. We know about like their depleted defense in a few areas so far this season. Matthew Golden had awesome usage last week, and we just kind of have to cross our fingers and hope it sustains. It's been tough to copy anything other than the Josh Jacobs usage week to week here for the Packers.
You're exactly right. This is just, it's so similar to the Jaden Reed stuff last year, where he's going to have four really good games and he's going to have, 10 games where it's been a struggle because he's just not seeing the field enough. But I did like those two manufactured touches. I think whenever he has the ball in his hands, he's making the first defender miss. He looks really athletic. I thought that sideline grab, even though he didn't create a lot of separation, it was just like a good play on the ball to get his feet into. So to me, he looks the part. Like, he should have a lot more fantasy points than he does. So I think that he's underrated right now in general, but it's one of these Jameson Williams type of profiles where it's probably always just going to be six or fewer targets. And he's going to have to make the most of them. And then also in the red area, he's not going to be heavily utilized because it's Josh Jacobs, and same thing with JMO with those two backs.
And Tucker Kraft. Yeah, for sure. I will add, let's say if the Packers, because it's a long, long season, if they do show to what everyone perceives to be their top talent and like play really consistent football, even if it is a high variance passing attack because they throw down the field so much, Matthew Golden being a key figure in that would not be surprising to me.
No. Yeah. If they're winning the Super Bowl this year, which I think they can do, they need Matthew Golden to like turn into like that really, really good player.
Jordan Addison is here as wide receiver 32. We talked about it with Justin Jefferson seeing Quinion Mitchell. That should mean Jordan Addison gets the much, much easier matchups. And we always love to refer back to when KOC drafted Jordan Addison in round one. And he said, yeah, when Justin Jefferson gets a difficult matchup, it's Jordan Addison's time to carry this offense in the passing game.
Yeah, it's a great spot. In the first 2 weeks back, he's been balling out. Those were two pretty wild games. One where they're in like complete comeback mode, and the other one, Jordan Addison left wide open on a coverage bus for what, like nearly like what, 70 yards or whatever it was. So he's been lucky in the first couple games. The team total is down to like 20 points. Not my favorite spot. But like you said, his individual matchup is looking pretty solid. So only negative in my profile is his target rate is down at 17%. So if the Vikings aren't going to be throwing the ball as much as they have in the first games with him, then I think that 17% target number is a little bit kind of harder to digest.
Okay, here's the name. When Puka Nacua, the top scoring wide receiver, goes down, who is the fill-in? Well, you and I both believe that it is Jordan Whittington. Again, this game's at Wembley, which kind of creates some weirdness whenever teams play over across the pond. But it hasn't been weird in terms of usage when either Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua are out. First of all, last week, when Puka did go out, Whittington played, I believe, on 91% of dropbacks. Yep. Okay. And then second, when Cooper Kupp went down last year, Jordan Whittington posted 6 for 62 and 7 for 89 as kind of that over the middle, difficult grabs, entering the trash, big bodied type pass catcher. And you and I are projecting that to happen again here.
I don't think you can do Tutu out well in that role. He would literally just combust.
But a lot of people are, I think, mentioning him. And that's why I want to call attention to Jordan Whittington being that guy over Tutu, who keeps his role, we think.
Yes, and I do think that Tutu Atwell can have 100 yards in this game on a deep pass. I just think if one guy is going to have 8-plus targets in this, I would make Jordan Whittington the heavy favorite in that. Like you said, he was a full-time player without Puka Nacua on the field just this last week, and they run similar routes. And this is just also one of these players who, if you listen to the team closely, you listen to the broadcast and people that are interviewing the coaches, his name is always just brought up. And sometimes that never means anything. Other times it's like, and boom, like immediately he goes crazy. That was Rico Dowdle. Like Rico Dowdle was talked up about this Panther staff like a lot. He finally gets his moment and he goes crazy with it. So I think that Jordan Whittington, I picked him up and I'm debating starting him too. It's like him and Juwan Jennings is my decision. And I have him very close in my rankings right now.
I have to add him to that golden versus fan and discourse. So like for you, if people out there, if you're missing Marvin Harrison Jr. because of the concussion and, you know, in this rankings, we're not anticipating he plays, or Deebo Samuel in that conversation, Terry McLaurin still, all these other guys on bye, Jordan Whittington for us is the number one pickup that you can make.
Yeah, there's some Kendrick Bourne-iness to this.
Okay, Rashid Shaheed, Chicago Bears. Anything you want to add here?
I just think he's really good at football, and it's not surprising that he's in trade talks because other GMs watching this are saying, oh, this guy looks very, very good at football.
Okay, Juwan Jennings, Wandale Robinson, and DJ Moore are the last names. We've talked about, you know, the 49ers. We've talked about the Bears. We have not talked at all about the Giants pass catchers here against the Denver Broncos. Why does Wandale sneak in?
Well, I don't love the spot, but somebody's got to be ranked here on every single team pretty much. He's at least not going to see Patrick Surtain. Surtain does not go into the slot very often. He's not going to be shadowing Wandale Robinson. That's insane. And Darius Slayton's still out. So he's just going to be the underneath slot guy, and they're probably going to be trailing. I will note the Giants project for the fewest amount of points, and they are the most run heavy team in the NFL this month. So is it looking great for Wandale? It's not.
All right. That does it. Once again, don't just watch this video. We also have one on Saturdays, kind of a preview episode where we talk through quarterbacks and tight ends. And when producer Weeze has been throwing on these pick'em lobby projections and they've caught your fancy, definitely gone over and play an underdog. Plus, we have drafts like Battle Royales are going at this very minute. So click link in the description, use promo code the show. If you're in one of these prediction market states, you can play sides and totals on top of it. I mean, we offer a bit of everything out there. So play $5, you get 100 if it's the first time you've ever played, and use promo code the show to support us. Shout out to Weaves and Mosho and Hayden. Up the Villa. We'll talk to y'all soon.